بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فيقول المصنف رحمه الله تعالى: باب ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يسيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله. باب ما جاء أن الغلو في قبور الصالحين يسيرها أوثانا تعبد من دون الله. The author, الشيخ محمد ابن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى, he mentioned the chapter which is titled The Clarification of That Which Has Come from the Fact That Going to Extremes or transgressing the boundaries, the limits, with regards to the graves of the righteous, it turns those graves into idols that are worshipped besides Allah. Going to extremes, transgressing the limits that have been legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to the righteous and the graves of the righteous, in reality, the outcome of this extremism is that it turns those graves and sometimes those righteous individuals, or what they are considered to be righteous individuals, it turns those graves to idols that are worshipped besides Allah. Those graves are turned into idols that are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever the people go to extreme with regards to them and they transgress the limits. And we've seen the previous chapters leading to this chapter, the author, he has clarified the prohibition of going to extremes in the deen in general. Ya ahl al-kitabi la taghlu fi dinikum, O people of the book, do not go to extremes or transgress the limits in your deen. And this was addressed, or this statement, this verse is addressed to the people of the book, but it is a warning for this ummah not to be like them. And we have seen the outcome of extremism and going into extremes and transgressing the limits with regards to the righteous specifically, and from the prophets, the first and the leaders of the righteous alayhi salatu wasalam, and after them likewise from the upright and pious believers. Going to extremes with them is a means that leads to shirk and causes their graves to be worshipped. And we have seen likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has prohibited building on the graves for this reason, and that it's not permissible to build on the graves, and it's not permissible to worship at the graveyard and at the place where the graves are. And there's a stern prohibition with regards to that, and now the author, he's clarifying why. Why is there a stern prohibition? Why is this prohibited? Why was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioning these prohibitions in such a stern manner all the way in his life, his entire life as a prophet? He's warning from this affair. And also just before he died by 5 days, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he continued to warn from this affair, building on top of building masajid and taking the graves as places of worship all the way to his last breaths. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's warning from this affair. Why? What is the reason for this great concern? The author, he's clarifying now that going to extremes in this manner with the graves, it leads to major shirk, and it causes those graves to become awthan, any idols that are worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-awthan is the plural of wathan, and al-wathan is something that is worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma yu'badu min dunillah laysa lahu sura, but it doesn't have a particular form. There's a difference between al-wathan was-sanam. Al-wathan wal-awthan was-sanam wal-asnam. Al-wathan is something that is worshipped besides Allah azza wa jal, but it doesn't have a particular image, like a rock or a stone that's not carved, or like a tree, for example, or like a grave. Even some people, they worship walls or pillars and that likes like this. And it's something that is taken as an object of worship, something that is an idol and is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, but it's not carved into a particular form, or it's not shaped in a particular shape. This is called a wathan. From that, the grave. the graves that are worshipped besides Allah. These are considered authan. As for something that is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, and it has a particular image and has been shaped in a particular form, then this is called a sanam. And both of them, they are idols. Both of them, they are falsehood. No matter what the image is, or what, no matter what the object is, these things are falsehood, and they are not worthy of worship. And we have seen previously, likewise, in the chapters that have preceded, that the one who is worthy of worship, he is the Creator. The one who is worthy of worship alone, Subhanahu wa Taala, he is Al Khaliq, and everything besides him is makhluq. Naam is makhluq wa marbub, is his creation, and is sustained and provided by him. Therefore, nothing is worthy of worship except for him, the Creator, Ar-Rabb, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The point in this chapter is to clarify that the reason for the stern prohibition, the reason for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cursing those previous nations, because for building masajid and taking the graves of their prophets and the righteous amongst them as places of worship, is because this leads to major shirk. This leads to that grave being worshipped besides Allah, and it turns that grave into an idol that is worshipped besides Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. The author, he says, رَوَى مَالِكٌ فِي الْمُوَطَّى أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أَلَهُمَّ لَا تَجْعَلْ قَبْرِي وَثَنًا يُعْبَدُ اشْتَدَّ غَضَبُ اللَّهِ عَلَى قَوْمٍ اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. The author, he mentioned a narration that is in Al-Muwatta by Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. Malik ibn Anas. Naam, he's from the Atba' Tabi'een, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he is the great Imam, Al-Imam Malik, the Imam of Al-Madhab Al-Maliki, rahmatullahi alayhi. And he died in the year 179. Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, Al-Asbahi. Rahmatullahi alayhi, and he is Imam Dar al-Hijrah, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 179. Great scholar of hadith and scholar of fiqh, and from the salaf of this ummah, rahmatullahi alayhi. He has a very famous work and book of hadith, and also inside of that book of hadith, al-Muwatta, he included as well narrations from the Sahaba and the Tabi'een. And likewise, he mentioned in that book much of his fiqh and understanding and commentary that he has, and rulings that he has derived from the narrations he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentioned this narration in the Muwatta, and he said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, O Allah, do not make my grave an idol that is worshipped. O Allah, do not make my grave an idol that is worshipped. And the anger of Allah, it has become severe upon the people who take the graves of their prophets as masajid. The ulama, they mentioned that this hadith is mursal, which is a type of hadith that is weak, but it has other narrations that support it, and this meaning has come, and other narrations that are authentic. And therefore, this narration likewise could be considered authentic from this aspect, and the meanings that are established in this narration are correct. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he was dying, we have seen that he cursed the Jews and the Christians for them taking the places, the graves of their prophets as places of worship. And these narrations are authentic, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was mentioning that to warn his ummah from doing that with his grave, and he was afraid that that would happen to his grave, and this is why he supplicated and he asked Allah to not allow his grave to be taken as a place of worship, and his supplication was responded to, walillah alhamd. And even in the earliest of days, the people of knowledge and the people in charge in the time after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they built walls around the grave, three different walls in different angles, and protecting the grave so that no one can go directly to the grave and worship there. It's not possible for someone to make it to the grave directly and to worship there. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answered the supplication of the Prophet, and his grave is not taken as a place of worship. Walillahi alhamd. As for those people who try to reach the grave, or they go to his masjid and they call on him, then this is established and this is known. Even people calling on him here, but this worship is not happening at his grave, because his grave has been protected and there is not a way to get to it. The layman and the people cannot make it directly to the grave to worship there. Therefore, his supplication, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was answered. As for what occurs in the hearts of the people, then this is what happens in the hearts of those misguided people, that they call on him, or they worship him, or they seek refuge with him, or they ask him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is major shirk. But this is not happening at his grave. This is not happening at his grave, and his grave is not taken as a place of worship, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Walillahi alhamd. So in any case, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he supplicated to Allah and he asked Allah, and from his supplications that he would ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his grave would not be taken as an idol worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he warned, likewise, the anger of Allah is severe and increased, yani, upon the people who take the graves of their prophets as masajid. The author, he then mentions, he says, what Ibn Jaririn bisanadihi an Sufyan an Mansur an Mujahid afara'aytum Lata wal Uzza qala kana yaluttu lahum as-sawiq. What Ibn Jarir, his name is Abu Jafar Muhammad Ibn Jarir al-Tabari rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 310. Ibn Jarir, he's the great scholar of tafsir, and he has one of the most beneficial books of tafsir, and it is approximately 26 volumes, and he is from the first of the ulama to collect tafsir by riwayah and by narration, and he is from the narrators of hadith, and this is what is indicated here in the statement of the author, Wadi Ibn Jarir in bisanadihi, and it's narrated by Ibn Jarir with his chain, meaning with his chain of narration. So Ibn Jarir, he's from the scholars of tafsir, and he's from the scholars of hadith, and his methodology in tafsir is that he will mention the understanding of the particular verse, and then after that he will mention those who have that understanding, and he will mention that by way of narration to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to the companions and to the tabi'in. And this is a great tafsir and very beneficial. Muhammad Ibn Jarir al-Tabari Abu Ja'far rahimahullahu ta'ala. Likewise, he was from al-fuqaha al-mujtahideen. He was from the scholars who were not blind following, and he was from the scholars who were considered mujtahideen, and they were those who had madhahib similar like Imam Malik that has preceded, and likewise before him Abu Hanifa, and after him Shafi'i wa Ahmad. They're from the scholars al-mujtahidun, those who strive with knowledge and understanding and looking into the text to derive rulings, and the likes like this from them, Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, and he had a madhhab, and the people were following his way, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he was from the last of those great scholars in that manner. But he says, rahimahullah, with his chain to Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 161. Likewise, a great scholar of hadith, and he's also known as Amir al-Mu'minin fil hadith, Abu Abdullah Sufyan al-Thawri, Amir al-Mu'minin fil hadith rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he says, Mansur, this is Ibn Mu'tamir rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 132. Likewise, from the greatest of the ulama of hadith, Mujahid ibn Jabr. He died in the year 104, and he's from the students of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Mujahid ibn Jabr, he mentioned that he read the Quran to Ibn Abbas more than one time, stopping him at every verse, asking him the understanding and the meaning of that verse. Mujahid is from the greatest of the scholars of tafsir, from the tabi'in rahimahullahu ta'ala. Here he's mentioning with regards to the statement of Allah, afara'aytum al-lat wal-uzza, have you not seen al-lat wal-uzza? Have you not seen Al-Lat wal-Uzza? He's mentioning the interpretation of this verse. He says, قَالَ كَانَ يَلُوتُ لَهُمْ السَّوِيقَ كَانَ يَلُوتُ لَهُمْ السَّوِيقَ فَمَاتَ فَأَقَفُوا عَلَى قَبْرِهِ. That, this is in reference to Lat specifically. He says, Mujahid rahimahullah, that Lat, Allah, afara'aytum Lat wal-Uzza, Lat, this one, he used to, يَلُوتُ لَهُمْ السَّوِيقَ يَلُوتُ لَهُمْ أَنِ يَخْلُطُ يَخْلُطُهُ لَهُمْ, that he used to mix the sawiq, he would make with the dates and also with some fat like butter and the likes. This he would mix it together and he would feed it to the pilgrims and he would feed it to the people who would pass by him, and he was known for generosity in this manner. فَمَاتَ فَأَقَفُوا عَلَى قَبْرِهِ, and he died, and then after that they started to stay and worship at his grave. They started to worship at his grave. And so this verse here, أَفَرَأَيْتَمُ اللَّاتَ, have you not seen Al-Lat? It is known that Al-Lat, this was from the major idols of the Mushrikeen in the days of Jahiliyyah. And they had Al-Lat, and they had Uzza, and they had Manat, and there were others likewise, but these were from the major idols. They had many idols, and then they had their big idols, or the major idols, and then they had other idols likewise. But these were from the greatest of the idols that the Mushrikun in the time of Jahiliyyah, they used to worship, and this was known to them. And Lat is one of them. Where did Lat, how what was the beginning of Lat, and how did this become an idol that is worshipped besides Allah? Mujahid is saying that Lat, this comes from the verb Latta Yaluttu. Latta yalutu means to mix something. This person, he used to mix a type of food, they call it sawiq. So he would mix it together and he would prepare it for the people, and when somebody would pass by him, he would give it to them for free. And likewise in the times of Hajj, even though they were making Hajj, but it was based upon shirk, and they had corrupted it, they would still come, the Arabs would still come, and he would prepare the sawiq and he would give it for free as a charity for anybody who would pass by him. So he was known for piety, and in this manner, he was known for being generous. He was known for, in his society in that time, he was there. He was considered to be from the people of righteousness, and in his society, and he used to be generous. And whenever he died, they took his grave as a place of worship. كذا قال أبو الجوزائي عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما كان يلوت السويق للحاج. Likewise, also the author, he says, it has been narrated from Abu al-Jawza. Abu al-Jawza, likewise from the Tabi'in, he died in the year 83. He says it's been that he narrated from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما. Ibn Abbas, the great scholar of Tafsir, rather, and likewise the from the family and the nephew of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu al-Abbas, he died in the year 68. What is he say? And he is known as Turjuman al-Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for him. He said he made dua to Allah for Ibn Abbas. Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen wa 'allimhu at-ta'wil. Oh Allah, grant him understanding in the deen and teach him the interpretation of the Quran. And this is what Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma is known as, Habrul Ummah, the great scholar of this Ummah, wa Turjuman al-Quran, and the interpreter of the Quran. And he is from the most knowledgeable of the companions with regards to the interpretation of the Quran radiyallahu anhuma. So he says, Kana yalutu sawiqa lil-hajj. Lat, he is the one who used to mix the sawiq for the people who make Hajj. Likewise, it's come in one wording of this narration, Fayut'imu. فَيُطْعِمُ مَنْ يَمُرُّ مِنَ النَّاسِ فَلَمَّا مَاتَ عَبَدُوهُ وَقَالُوا هُوَ اللَّاتِ. So likewise, he used to feed the people who had passed by him, and whenever he died, they started to worship him, and they said he is اللات. يعني اللات اسم فاعل من لتة, يعني اللات, the one who mixes the sawiq. The point of this clarification and the benefit from this is to see how this great idol, and with regards to the Arab in those days, this was from the greatest of their idols that they used to venerate and love and honor and worship and seek refuge with, and the likes like this. They worship besides Allah, Allat. What is the origin of this idol? How did it begin? And the origin, he was a righteous man. A righteous man. He used to mix the food like this, and he was in their eyes, in his society, they considered him to be a righteous person, a person of salah, because of his generosity and how he would prepare all this food, and then he would give it away for free, and he was known for that, and he was known for that. So in, amongst his society, he was considered to be a righteous individual. And then whenever he died, they started to worship at his grave, and they made al-i'tikaf or al-uquf, meaning that they would go to his grave and they would stay there and they would remain there until the extent that the grave was worshipped and besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is clear evidence for what the author he is mentioning, and this is also clearly from the reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so stern in this prohibition, because this affair leads to shirk. It leads directly to shirk, whether it's from the fastest means and from the fastest paths and ways that lead to major shirk, is to establish worship at a grave or to build on top of a grave buildings or domes and the likes like this. And then in this manner, that graves become venerated, that grave becomes in the hearts of the people magnification and the likes like this, until that place is taken as a place of worship and an idol, and it's worship besides Allah Azza wa Jal. The author, he says, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زائرات القبور ومتخذين عليها المساجد والسرج رواه أهل السنن. Likewise, it has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما that he said, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he cursed the women who visit the graves. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed the women who visit the graves, and likewise he cursed those who take the graves as places of worship, and they put candles and lights and lanterns, and they illuminate the graveyards with lights. Rawahu ahlu sunan, the people of the of Sunan, yani meaning Abu Dawud wa at-Tirmidhi wa An-Nasa'i wa Ibn Majah. They narrated this narration. They narrated this narration. Rahimahum Allahu Ta'ala. And Ahl al-Sunnah, that's what this means. Naam. So we see here that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cursed these people. There's three different people here. He cursed the women who visit the graves, and he cursed the individuals who take the graves as places of worship, and he cursed those who illuminate the graveyards with lights, with lanterns or candles. Or even today, if they have lights that are there, and lights, any electricity, all of this is prohibited. And taking the graveyards in this manner as places of worship, or lighting them up and with candles, or lighting them up with lanterns, or lighting them up with any type of lights, this is all impermissible. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed them. Likewise, women visiting the graveyards, this is impermissible. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cursed them. Naam, la'ana Rasulullah. Now the Prophet, he cursed these individuals, meaning that means that the Prophet, he made dua against them that Allah will not show them mercy, because al-la'natu hiya al-ib'adu an rahmatillah, al-ib'ad an rahmatillah. It is to make dua, and la'na, the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that one would be taken far and distance, far away from the mercy of Allah. And to make dua against somebody like this, meaning may Allah's anger be upon them. Because if they are taken away from His mercy, then His anger will befall them. Iyadhin billah. Iyadhin billah. So this is a supplication against that individual. Who was making the supplication? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Against who? Against women. Against women who visit the graves. And likewise against individuals who take the graveyards as places of worship, or the graves as places of worship. Not saying not those who worship the graves, but rather those who just take the graves as masajid, as has preceded. And likewise, he cursed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam those individuals who light up the graveyards, light them up with candles, or light them up with torches, or with lanterns, or light them up with electricity. Likewise, all of this is impermissible. All of this is considered lighting up the graveyard, lighting up the graveyard. So therefore, it's not permissible for to do any of these affairs. It's haram for the women to visit the graves. It's haram to take the masajid, to take the graves as masajid or places of worship. And it's haram to light up the graveyards. And it's haram to light up the graveyards. All of these are means for the grave to be worshipped. And if they're taken as a place of worship, then this is a means that leads for the grave itself to be taken as an object of worship. And likewise, by lighting up the graveyards, and this is also a means, and lighting up the graves with candles and the likes, with lamps or lanterns and the likes like this. This is all means that leads to venerating and honoring the graves in going to extremes. No doubt, a Muslim, he respects the graves, and he is not allowed to sit on them, and he's not allowed to walk on them and the likes like this. But this is the legislated type of honor that and respect that is permissible. But as for going to extremes with that honor and that respect, then this is a means that leads to worshiping the grave besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And for this reason, these affairs have been made impermissible. The author, he says, فِيهِ مَسَائِرَ فِي هَذَا الْبَابِ. In this chapter, there are some issues, any benefits, issues and benefits that are derived from here. الْأُولَى تَفْسِيرُ الْأَوْثَانِ. The first benefit or mas'ala is the definition or the interpretation of awthan. We see it is something that is worshipped besides Allah, that does not have a particular image, like a grave, nam, or a tree, or a stone that is not carved, and the likes like this. الثانية تَفْسِيرُ الْعِبَادَ. And the second benefit, we see the interpretation of ibadah. And ibadah, yani, is that one will surrender himself, and one will submit himself, and one will love and worship the one whom he is worshiping with humiliation and with love. Nam ibadah ghayatu al-hubbi ma'a ghayati al-dhulli wal-khudu'. So the state of a person in ibadah is that he humbles himself and he surrenders himself out of love, and he worships in this manner. الثالثة أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يستعذ إلا مما يخاف وقوعه. The third benefit is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he did not seek refuge with Allah. يعني اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. Oh Allah, do not make my grave an idol that is worshipped beside you. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not seek refuge with Allah from this, except it was something that he was afraid that it would happen. So the reason why he sought refuge with Allah and he asked Allah for this to not to happen is because he was afraid that it would happen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. الرابعة قارنه بهذا اتخاذ قبور الأنبياء مساجد. يعني the fact that he also coupled along with this, or he mentioned together along with this, the fact that the graves of the prophets before have been taken as masajid, and that those people are cursed. And he mentioned this, and then he mentioned his affair as well. Yani, oh Allah, do not make my grave like this. And then he mentioned the anger of Allah upon those who did that before. And likewise, he mentioned the curse of Allah upon those who have done that before. So he is warning from that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-khamisa dhikru shiddati al-ghadabi min Allah. And the fifth mas'ala is the mention here that this is the severe anger of Allah for those who do that. The severe anger of Allah for those who take the graves as places of worship. As the author mentioned in the previous chapter, then how about if he worshiped them? And how about if he actually worshiped the grave? If this severe anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upon the one who takes the grave as a place of worship, then how about the one who worships the grave itself? Iyadhan billah. السادسة وهي من أهمها. The sixth one, and it's from the most important of them. The author, he says, معرفة صفة عبادة اللاتي التي هي أكبر الأوثان. And this is to know the description of the worship of Lat, and that it is the greatest of the idols, the greatest of the idols, and how it became to be worshipped. How did the worship of Lat become? And the Lat, which is the greatest of the idols that was worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal, how did this occur? This was a man in the origin. This man, this was an individual. He used to be known for generosity in his society, and they considered him to be righteous. And whenever he died, they took his grave as a place of worship. And then in the end, his grave became worshipped besides him, and he was known as Lat. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Knowledge is light, my dear brothers and sisters. If we see what had occurred in the previous nations, and we see, and we look into the evidences of Tawheed, we see the strangeness of Al-Islam today and how far many of the Muslims are away from the true deen. May Allah guide us and guide them and show us the truth and allow us to follow it. السابعه معرفه انه قبر رجل صالح. The seventh mas'ala is to know now and then that at land it was the grave of a righteous man, and they're considered righteous to them. Now considered righteous to them, and this is how it occurred. That was the grave and land which became the greatest from the greatest idols of the Arabs in those days. That is worshipped besides Allah Azza wa Jal. Its origin that it was a grave of a righteous man. It was a grave of a righteous man. الثامنة أنه اسم صاحب القبر. And the eighth mas'ala is that that's the name of the person in the grave. وذكر معنى تسمية. And also remembering that, knowing the name or the meaning of that name. يعني اللات. اللات يعني الذي كان يلد السويق للحجاج. The one who used to mix. يعني اللات means to mix something. لات يلد. Nam and Allat, he's the one who did that, and that was the name of that idol, and that was the name of that person, and he was known as that Allat, the one who mixes the sawiq. He mixes this type of food for the people and gives it to them as a charity, and then whenever he died, they remembered him and they took his grave as a place of worship, and then in the end, his grave became worship besides Allah until he became from the major idols of the Arab in those days. التاسعة لعنة زوارات القبور. Number 9, المسألة التاسعة, cursing, the curse of Allah upon the women who visit the graves. At Ashura, this is clear. It's not permissible for the women to visit the graves. This is something that a believer will submit to, male and female. And a male, he will not allow his women to go to the graves if they wish to do that, or they ask to do that, or they want to do that. Rather, they will be reminded. And upon a believer to submit, whenever we find the evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah, a believer he follows them, he surrenders to them, hoping for the reward from Allah Azza wa Jalla, fearing his punishment. La'nuhu zawarat al-qubur, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the women who visit the graves. Al-ashira la'nuhu man asrajaha. And the 10th mas'ala, the author he mentioned, is that he cursed likewise the ones who put lights on the graves as well. And all of this we see is in order to prohibit the means of shirk, because shirk is from the worst of all sins, rather it is the greatest of all sins. In Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha. That Allah, he does not forgive that a shirk is made with him, that idols are worshipped besides him, or that one would associate partners in worship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, but he forgives lesser than that to whom he wills. So therefore, whenever this crime and this sin of shirk is so dangerous, likewise all of the means and avenues that lead to it, likewise they are blocked and they are stopped and they are made impermissible. And rather there is a stern prohibition with regards to these affairs. And with that we finish the chapter. Walillahi alhamd. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.